there were two goyim, were friends together, and they were very interested in Yiddishkeit. And debating whether they should become a Yid, one of them decides he's going to take the plunge. He's going to become Jewish. So his friend says, "You know what? Maybe you become Jewish. You'll tell me what it's like, and then I'll make the decision. If it's good, you'll tell me, and I'll join too." So he says, "Fine." And his friend, he converts, and he becomes a Yid right before Sukkot. So Sukkot begins, and right away, Simchas Yontov and Sudas, Simchas Beis HaShev every day, Chalamoid, Simchas Torah, this party, is having an unbelievable time. Then starts the winter, a few weeks later, Chanukah parties, latkes, donuts, it's unbelievable this. Then Tu B'Shvat, somebody takes the Peiros Tish, Pesach, Nachmal Sudas again, Chalamoid. He has a Purim, I've forgotten. Purim, what a day, Purim. It's worth coming to eat just for Purim. He goes to Purim, a Pesach, Shavuos. And then he meets his friend. His friend says, "No, how's it going? What's it like?" He says, "It's unbelievable. This is a religion. You got to join." So he says, "Okay, you tell me it's good, I'll join." And he becomes a Yid too. And he becomes a Yid, it's right before Shavuot B'Tammuz. And he comes, starts off right away this Tannus. And then he's got the 3 weeks, then the 9 days, with Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av. He says, "It's unbelievable." Then, after that, a little while later, it starts with Slichus, and the whole day davening Rosh Hashanah, Tzom Gedalia, Yom Kippur. He meets his friend, he says, "What are you telling me? It's so difficult." He says, "I don't know what happened. Until you came along, everything was terrific." We're reaching that time now, which is the more difficult time of year. We're beginning the 3 weeks, Zman of Churban, Zman of Avelis. It's not easy. So we have to understand, what is the Avodah? What are we supposed to be doing this time of year? And if we look, the best place to look is Afochba v'Afochba d'Kulaba. You look in the Torah. Which is the parasha that talks about Golus? Rav Gedalia Shon his Sefer says that parashas Vayetze is the parasha of Golus. At the beginning of parashas Vayetze, Yaakov goes into Golus. By the end of Vayetze, he goes back to Israel. So if you want to understand Golus, you've got to look at parashas Vayetze. Maisa Ovis, Simon Nabonim. Whatever happened to our Ovis, that's a Simon, what we go through. The Ramban writes that in the dream of Yaakov Avinu, all Goliaths, the Klai Yisrael go through, are Merumis in that dream. The Zipporah says there, Vayazarucha Ka'afara Oretz, your children will be like the dust of the earth. Yaakov is told, this Pasuk, sounds like a beautiful bracha. Zipporah says it means, within Klai Yisrael are like the dust, that everybody is trampling them. The most difficult times for Klal Yisrael. That's when Ufaratzta Yoma V'Kedma V'Tzvayna V'Negba. That's when the Geula will come. The Geula will come right when things are rock bottom, difficult times. So we see constantly this inyan of Golus in Parshas Vayetze. So if we want to understand lessons, what we can learn about Golus, how to get out of Golus, to get Geula, we look in Vayetze. The Medrash tells us, at the time of the Churban, the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and Avraham Avinu comes running to the Rebbeinu Shloim and begs, is mispal to save Klal Yisrael, to save the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, "L'maisa I made Nakeda, look what I did for you." And the Rebbeinu Shloim says, "No." Comes Yitzchak and he says, "I lay down there ready to be shechted in Maizchus." No. Yaakov comes, Moshe Rabbeinu comes. None of them are accepted. Until Rachel Imenu comes. And Rachel cries to the Rebbeinu Shloim that my sister, I was worried what would happen to her. That she would be embarrassed. I gave her over the Simonim. And I gave her the Simonim. I wasn't jealous of my sister. I was willing to give up for my sister. So you, Rebbeinu Shloim, you're jealous because Klal Yisrael do things wrong. You have to be Moichel Klal Yisrael. And the Rebbeinu Shloim said, because of you, Rachel, mini koylech mibechi veinayich midima, and he told her, v'shovu bonim l'gvulam, that Klal Yisrael will come out of Golus. He promised her to redeem Klal Yisrael. What is it about Rachel's tefillah that beats an akedah? An akedah! Avraham is willing to shecht his own son. Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel the Torah. No, none of them are good enough. Only Rachel. What was so special about Rachel? Another thing we have to ask is that Rachel and Yaakov knew that the Shver here, Lavan, was a swindler. And if it's a swindler, we have to make plans what to do in case he tries to pull a fast one. What's he going to try and do? Maybe he'll switch Rachel for Leah. So they came up with a plan. They make a secret password. And then what happens? They make a password. The scenario worked out exactly like they thought would happen. And Rachel gives over the simonim. I mean, this is what they planned. Why did she renege on the deal? What right did she have? And also, what changed? She knew this was happening. And one more question we have to ask is that you've got a pasuk in Vayetzei, one of the most difficult pasuk in the whole Torah. Leah comes to Rachel and says to Rachel a very strange taina. Rachel said to Leah, could I have some flowers from you? And Leah says back, is it insignificant that you wanted to take my husband away and now you want my flowers? One second, this is Leah talking to Rachel. You tried to take my husband away? What's going on? How could Leah say this to Rachel? What is she thinking? So we can answer all these questions by understand the story behind the story. What really happened back then? So we imagine that Yaakov gave the simonim to Rachel. So we think it was a secret password that Rachel would come to Yaakov's door, knock at the door, and she would say something like, the sea breeze is cool tonight. Oh, you're the one, and let her in. That's what we think the simonim were. The Das Kain Balitaisa says, what were the simonim? They were the mitzvahs of a woman. Nida, Chala, Hadlokas, Aner. Those mitzvahs. Meaning they made a plan that the simon would be, would start discussing the mitzvahs with her, which he taught her, and she would know about these mitzvahs. So when Rachel gave over the simonim to Leah, it doesn't say Masra, she gave them over. It says Gilsa, she revealed them. Meaning she didn't want Leah to feel like she owes her one, to feel indebted to her forever. So she says to Leah one day, she realizes she wants to give the simonim. So how does she give them over? She says, you know, Baruch Hashem, I found my shidduch. Mit Hashem, one day, you'll find your zivuk too. Should be Bekar of Mamish. But when you get married, you're going to need certain mitzvahs. Nida, Chala, Hadlok, Zaner. Let's learn them together. Yaakov taught me these mitzvahs. So she teaches them to Leah. Leah now has a secret password. She doesn't know she has it. When she goes that night to Yaakov, she doesn't realize Yaakov starts discussing the mitzvahs and she answers back. She doesn't realize that she's giving over the password. So it comes out she never ever knew that Rachel had given her the simonim. Which means that this is the highest level of chesed a person can do. Just like by tzedakah. What is the biggest level of tzedakah? Where the recipient doesn't have to feel that you're getting something. And here she's doing this ultimate chesed, this unbelievable chesed. She's giving this simonim to Leah, and Leah knows nothing about it. Chesed, Ahavas Yisrael, is what brings geula. That is why Rachel has that koyach. What brings churban? Churban comes when somebody focuses on themselves. Let's bring you an example for that. It's coming up in the parasha. In Parashas Matos, at the end of Parashas Matos, some psukim nobody notices too much, and there's an unbelievable lesson in those psukim. The pasuk says Yorib ben Menashe captured cities, and he called those cities Chavos Yoir, the villages of Yoir. He named them after himself. Then you get Noivach captured a city, and he called it Vayikra Lo. He called it Noivach Bishmoy. He named it after himself. Sounds like two similar stories. There's a big difference between the two stories. Yorib ben Menashe's cities, you see them in Shoftim, in Sefer Shoftim, hundreds of years later, they're still around. But you look what happened to Noivach's city, called Noivach. Rashi says, Vayikra Law. Law is written without a doggish. To show you it's a soft hay, without a doggish, they didn't have a kiyum. Noivach's city, Noivach, was destroyed. What's it teaching us over here? Reb Shimon Schwab says like this, that you see towns that are named after people. You see, there's a city, Washington, wasn't named in his lifetime. Cities that are named after people, they're named after they're dead. Why? Because otherwise you wouldn't call it the name like that. For example, he says, you have a store, McDonald's. It's not called McDonald's, It's called McDonald's. It belongs to McDonald's. Why? Because if you call it your name, that means you're identifying yourself with it. That's who you are. That's part of you. If that business goes bankrupt, you're bankrupt. It makes sense you're depressed then, because it's part of you. So you never name something after your name. You name it, it belongs to you. Yair ben Menashe named the villages Chavois Yair, villages of Yair. Noivach called the city Noivach. He called it his name. You call something your name, that's not going to last. You can't identify with Gashmias. That's mamish part of you. So you see, focusing on the I brings churban. And that is why even in the English language, the letter I is the only letter that has a doggish. Has a dot on top there. Now, it always reminds me of the Maisa, of there was a lawyer gets involved in a car accident and is standing next to his Lexus, is crying his eyes out. And a policeman comes along and he says to him, "You lawyers, you're all the same. All you care about is the money. You didn't even notice. Your arm got chopped off in the accident and it didn't even bother you." He looks down and says, "Oh no, my Rolex." We can't focus on oneself. We have to focus on others. Rachel is the prime example of focusing on somebody else. Then you can understand then that Leah is able to say to Rachel, "Hama'at kachte chesishi." He says, "Listen," Leah says, "our father was a swindler. Yeah, it wasn't right what he did. He switched me for you. But once he did that, what right did you have to come in the marriage? Ruin my shalom bayis." She didn't know that Rachel had any shaykhus to the story at all. As far as she was concerned, it was the father did it. Nothing to do with Rachel. And look at the gadlus of Rachel. What did she say back? Absolutely nothing. It makes sense. Her tefillahs are answered. Imagine Rachel, no child, suffering unbelievably. And this is how her sister talks to her. Try and think in that situation what you have said. Let me bring out a story bringing out a similar point. There was a person, a bacher, he gets engaged to a girl. He comes from a wealthy family. His grandmother is very wealthy. And he tells the kallah who comes from a poor family, "The minhag in our family is my grandmother buys engagement ring." And he takes her to the grandmother, and the grandmother gives her this $10,000 ring. Now you would expect her to be very excited and happy, and she certainly put on the show like she was, but she felt uncomfortable wearing such a ring. She'd never seen jewelry like that. She wasn't used to it. She wasn't excited about it. But the cover of the grandmother, she knew she had no choice. She has to wear it. It was a little loose, and she said she'll have to get it tightened, and then it'll be fine. Then, of course, she didn't bother. Things go on. You're busy with life. And she would go every so often with her husband to her in-laws. She didn't fit in so well into that family. There was a lot of money there. And even though the Kayan couple had no money, but the in-laws, they lived wealthy in a wealthy lifestyle. She didn't really fit and feel so comfortable there. The relationship was strained a little. And then one Shabbos, she was staying there by her in-laws. And one of her sister-in-laws says to her, that, "Hey, where's your ring?" She looks at the finger. "Well, I must have dropped it in the room. I must have lost it." So she goes up looking for it. And they call up, "You found the ring?" She says, "No, I didn't find it." So her sisters-in-law go upstairs to help her. Her mother-in-law goes, and they're going through all her stuff. She feels violated. It bothers her. All of them looking through her things, but she has no choice. The ring is missing. They search and search. They can't find the ring. They said, "What do you think happened?" She said, "Well, it was a little loose." "It was loose and you didn't? What do you think?" They said, "You're crazy. How could you do that? A $10,000 ring." And then whenever she came there for Shabbos, it got worse, the situation. They would say, don't give it to her to carry. She might lose it. She'll forget it. And they treated her with disdain. It was difficult for her. And one day she says to husband, "I've had it. I am not going to your mother's house anymore. That's it." He said, "You know, try, please." And she would try and go still, but it just wasn't working. A few months later comes Yontif. And her husband, he had a minig, there's a soul. Some people do. He wore a kapota only for Yontif. And he tries on the kapota. He hasn't worn it since the chasna to see if it fits. And he tries it. "Oh, not bad." And all of a sudden he feels something in the pocket. And in the pocket he finds the ring is there. He does, "Unbelievable. Here's the ring." They're so excited. Right away they run over to his mother's house. And they say they found the ring and explain what happened. He must have somehow got into his pocket there. And there's tremendous excitement. she starts coming there for Shabbos more, and they treat her nicely, and things start working out very nicely, a much better relationship. And then they start making fun of the husband. It's all his fault. Everything's him. Yeah, they said, we're so happy you married him. He was always such a schlamazel. Of course it was him who lost it. And then she would make jokes like that. The years go by, they have children, and she'd always tell them over the story, and she'd always make jokes about him being schlamazel. This goes on for 15 years. 15 years go by, and one day, she's cleaning the house, and she finds different things. She's going through different papers, and she finds one of the papers, a receipt. She looks at the receipt, and she sees the receipt is for $10,000. She looks at the date of the receipt. It's a jewelry store, and all of a sudden, she chaps. The husband, he bought a new ring. She confronts him, and he says, yeah. He saw what was going on. Our relationship with his family was so bad, and he knew she has to find that ring. So he says he borrowed the money, and for the next 6-7 years, he was tutoring on the side, and he paid off that $10,000. But Baruch Hashem was successful, and he was able to solve the problem in the mishpacha. Everybody was Shalom Al Yisrael. Now, I was very impressed with the story. I was certainly impressed with the husband, what he did over here. But had it been me, let's say I would have been, I doubt I would have been that good, but let's say I would have. The years would have gone by, and then a few years later, and she starts making fun of me a little bit. What do you say? Let me tell you what really happened. Let me tell you the story behind the story. And he keeps his mouth shut. 15 years, and he doesn't say anything. I certainly wouldn't be like that. One time I was zeichet to win a fight with my wife. Only once. What happened is, she was eating avocado. I said to my wife, what bracha did you make on the avocado? She said, Adama. I said, Adama, it's an eight. What are you talking about? It's a vegetable. I said, no, it's an eight. It grows on a tree. And Baruch, I felt so good. I'm right this time. And she says, no, it's Adama. Shall we look? We take our books. We find out it's an eight. I was so excited. I was right. What did I want to do? I wanted to make a plaque with a picture of an avocado on it. Underneath it says, Boire Pio Eats. I put it on the wall, and every time we argue after that, I point, remember, avocado. You know, I was right once. I feel so good I was right. And here this guy, 15 years, he keeps his mouth shut. It's unbelievable. And here you have Rochel Imenu. Her sister is saying to words like that, and at karte chazishi. Wouldn't it make sense to say to her sister, let's sit down. Leah, this is a few years have gone by. Let me tell you what really happened. You know, don't tell me about whose husband it is. But she doesn't say a word. That is the godless of Rochel. People need to get in that last word. But we still have to understand, why did she change her mind? Why did she renege on the deal? What changed, and what right did she have to renege on the deal? So the simple pshat is because she thought that Yaakov would switch her for Leah, but he would do it privately. She didn't know he would do it with the whole party in front of everybody. So now she made a cheshbon. Malbim bnei chaveira berabim. It's going to cause embarrassment for her in front of other people. That I can't do. So she gave us the simonim. She found out it's going to be a public event. But we can still ask, what right did she have to renege on the deal she made with Yaakov? So we can understand that with a story. Rabbi Shua Brim, in Eretz Yisrael, in his neighborhood, there was a younger man that was nifter, and left a young almona. It was right before Pesach, and he realized there's no way she's going to be able to make a seder in this matzav. So he arranged for an older bacher to come and make the seder for the family. Comes seder night, and he went to stop by a house to say good yontif and see everything's okay. He comes in there, and he sees the bacher's not there. He waits 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he's not there. He realizes maybe there was some misunderstanding. What's he going to do now? He says, no, there's no way I can leave this almon alone. He sits down and he makes the seder. He goes through the whole seder with almon and her family. He finishes, he runs home as fast as he can. His own family is panicking. Where were you? What happened? He says, there's no time to talk. It's almost chatzos. And they have to start the seder, fly through the seder quickly, get to the matzav, and afterwards I'll explain it. Then afterwards, he tells them what happened. He was busy with this almon. So his family said to him, very nice, you took care of almon. What about us? We were sitting here waiting. So he said, let me explain it to you. He says, when I was a younger man, I just got married. I was living in Bnei Brak. And we were a chabura together. And one day the Chaznish came over to us. And he said to us that part of your chabur, there's this bacha. And this bacha is an older bacha already. He can't find a shidduch. I want you to work to do everything you can to find him a shidduch. If you put koiches into it, you'll find him a shidduch. And Chaznish asked them, they put their koiches in, and they found him a shidduch. And he was getting engaged. So he says he went himself to tell Chaznish, the bacha is getting engaged. The next night there's going to be a vod. The Chaznish was so excited, so happy. He says, I want to be mishtatav in that vod. I'm so besimcha about it. I have a korzatayv to you. I want to come to the vod. And so he arranged at 10 o'clock. By the time the vod is almost over, he'll pick up the Chaznish and he'll bring there the end of the vod. That works out for Chaznish the time. So he came to the Chaznish's house. It was 10 o'clock. And the Chaznish was talking to an older couple. Chaznish tells him, sit down. I have to still finish over here. And he hears this conversation the Chaznish is having. It's an older couple. And they're asking about different mundane things, about different color curtains and cutlery and furniture, all different discussing things about the house, and asking him his advice and what color he thinks. And he sits and slowly discussing with them, doesn't seem in any rush at all. And some of the time it looked like they wanted to finish, and he keeps the conversation going. After a half hour, finally they finish. And then he walks them to the door, he walks them down the road. And then he tells Rishur Brim, okay, let's go now to the Vod. They're on the way to the Vod, and he says to Rishur Brim, you're probably wondering why I kept you so long. So he says, yeah, I wasn't going to ask, but yeah. So he said, well, these people are Holocaust survivors. They lost everything. And they feel that nobody cares about them. And I felt when they came to talk to me, if I don't deal nicely with them, if I don't give them my time, if I'm rough with them, they're going to be so depressed and so tzabrochen, I can't do that to them. I have a chiv to give them all the time in the world. And then the Chaznish said, so he'll ask me, that's very nice, but what about all the people that vote? They're waiting for me there to arrive. They've waited a half hour for nothing. What about the 100 people there? So the Chaznish said, just like I had a chiv to help these people, those people waiting had the same chiv I had. So this way, they were mishtatav. They'll get schar as well. They also did their part in it as well. They waited. So Rav Shur Brim said to his family, I had a chiv to help this almona. You had a chiv to help the almona. I helped them by being there, by you waiting, having your delayed seder, by putting up with this. That's the way you were mishtatav. You had the same chiv. This is the cheshbon that Rachel made. Rachel made a cheshbon. I have a chiv to help my sister. I have a chiv? Yaakov has the same chiv. So therefore, I have the right to renege on the deal. In the circumstances that have now come up, I have that right, and Riyaka will have to manage. And that is what she did. Was she correct? 100% she was. Because there's no pasuk in the Torah that Yaakov comes to Rachel and say, Loma Rimisoni, why did you trick me? Never does he have a tain on Rachel. Not only that, if you look, there's a pasuk that says, that Yehav Yaakov Rachel, be Leah. He loved Rachel more than Leah. Ask the Klei Yoker, he loved Rachel more than Leah? He didn't love Leah. Leah was a snoor. So how could the Torah say he loved Leah? Says the Klei Yoker, that's not what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk means he loved Vayev Yaakov Rachel. He loved Rachel so much, mi Leah. From the Maisa with Leah. From the fact that she gave this simonim over, he loved her even more. He saw what a tzedekah she was. It created a greater love for her. That is the ultimate type of chesed, what Rachel did. We see that Binyamin and Yosef, they didn't see each other for 22 years. When they meet each other, they cry on each other's necks. Says Rashi, why are they crying? They're crying for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. There's going to be two Beis HaMikdash. In Binyamin's Chayek, they're going to be destroyed. Mishkan Shil and Yosef Chayek is going to be destroyed. Each one is crying for the other one's Churban. Each one is caring more about the other one than themselves. As that Avas Yisrael, they have seen how much Tzoras, Sinas Yisrael, Sinas Chinam had produced with the brothers, with Yosef. They saw in the future B'nevuah what Sinas Chinam is going to cause a Churban HaBayis. So each one of them is crying for the other one's sorrow. Caring more about the other than themselves. We see this middah by Binyamin. That is why Binyamin is zoicha to get the Beis HaMikdash chelek. He wasn't involved in Mechiras Yosef. But not only that. You see that Yosef had 10 sons. Every one of his sons, Chazal tell us, was named after the fact that he didn't see Yosef for all those years. And there's examples of that. Mupim, Chupim, Mupim. I wasn't by his chasna. He wasn't by my chasna. And the Bali Musa say that he puts those two, both get names. I wasn't by his chasna. He wasn't by mine. Most people who make a simcha, they get very upset when people don't turn up. People didn't bother. And it bothers them. But those very same people, when that person who they were upset didn't come to their simcha, when that person is making a simcha, and it's a little difficult for them, the chasna happens to be in Brooklyn, in Lakewood, it's a schlep to get there, they find a little excuse, they don't go. It bothers them to when people miss their simcha. They want a nice crowd at their simcha, everybody should come. But missing somebody else's is not as important. By Binyamin, it was just as important. Him missing Yosef's chuppah, Yosef missing his chuppah, it's all the same to him. He feels for other people. His zoichet have the Beis HaMikdash in his chelik. It's chesed, avas Yisrael, that brings geula, that brings the Beis HaMikdash to be built. The ultimate caring about somebody else is amispal bad chaveroi. Somebody done it for his friend. And he needs it. He gets answered first. So it's not just on a national level, caring for people brings geula. On an individual level, you care about somebody else. You're davening for that other person. You're not worried about your own tzoros. And also they explain, you need it not for yourself. You need it for your friend. You care so much about your friend that you need it for him. That's when. I don't know if I ever told you this, Maisa. An unbelievable Maisa of a Bacha was learning in Eretz Yisrael. And he saw there was a lot of chesed done in the yeshiva. And he also wanted to do chesed. And he saw there's a gemach for everything you could think of. He looked on the wall there, there's a gemach for hats, if you don't have your hat. A gemach for jackets, for paper, for pencils. Whatever you could dream of, there was a gemach for. I once looked in the front page over here and I found 46 gemachs listed. All different, well, some of them I wasn't sure what they were. A color gemach, I don't know if they give out colors, I'm not sure exactly. But there's different interesting gemachs there. So he wanted to do some chesed and he couldn't think of any type of chesed to do that wasn't listed. He's racking his brains, he's got time. Yeah, you know, he wasn't the world's biggest master, he learned what he had to learn, but he wanted to do some chesed as well. And finally came up with an idea. There's a big skula to daven at the Kosel for 40 days in a row. Not just Kupat Zair can do it, you know, other people can also do it for you. Can daven at the Kosel for 40 days in a row. So he decided he's going to make a gemach. He'll dedicate 40 days at the Kosel to daven for somebody. So he puts a sign up in yeshiva, gemach, to mispal the Kosel for 40 days. So he would dedicate it to one particular cause and daven for other people at the same time, but there would be one special dedication. So people would come to him and he would go to the Kosel for 40 days. Soon after he starts put up this sign, his chavrusa comes to him and he tells him, you know, you're willing to daven for people. I have a sister, she's married a few years, she doesn't have any children, maybe you must bow for her. So he takes the name, says sure, and he goes 40 days to the Kosel. Some days to go was very difficult. He forgot, it got late, but he made sure, Mesiras Nefesh, Shabbos, he had to walk there, if it was cold, he still had to get there. He made sure 40 days in a row he goes to the Kosel. A few months later, his chavrusa comes to him and says, your tefillah is spoiled. Baruch Hashem, my sister is pregnant. And then he kept doing this for different people. Eventually, he came back to America. He went to work. He's living here in the United States. He gets married. He has children. And the years go by. And now it's time. He's marrying off one of his own children. And he does a shidduch with somebody in Belgium. And the shidduch works out. And the Mechotonim fly in, and he meets with the Mechotonim. And they're meeting for the first time, for both of them was their first child, and they felt a little uncomfortable, they didn't know what to say, different cultures, and they're trying to make conversations. So to break the ice, he starts talking about where do you learn yeshiva, you know, talk about different things to make conversation. So he mentioned where he learned. His Mechotainista says to him, oh, you learned, it's interesting you learned that yeshiva. That yeshiva you learned, my brother learned that. Maybe you knew him. So he said, who was your brother? Of course, he was my chavrusa. Then all of a sudden, he makes a cheshbon, and he realizes, one second, he was Mispal. He knows what Mechotainista's name is. Sarah Bas. And he makes a cheshbon. And he realizes, Zeh hanor asher espalalti. This is the boy that I davened for. This boy that he davened for so many years earlier is now going to marry his daughter. Hamispal bat chaveira, you davened for somebody else. Hu nen etchila. You have Yeshua's from it. You see this, how powerful this is, again, in Parshas Vayetze. There's a very strange interaction between Yaakov and Rachel. Rachel comes to Yaakov and says to Yaakov that, you know, I want you to daven for me, I have no children. Give me children! And Yaakov says to her, Asachas elikim anoichi, am I in the place of Hashem? Says Rashi, he quotes Chazal, that you tell me to daven like my father davened. My father Yitzchak, he davened, and Rivka had children. You want me to do like that? It was different. My father didn't have children at all when he davened. I have children, so I can't do like my father. That sounds a pretty mean thing to say. My father had children, he needed to daven. I, Baruch Hashem, things are fine by me. The Ramban asked the Kasha, Kach oininus ameikos. This is how you talk to people in pain? You say, Kol tov, I'm okay. And not only that, he says, Tzadikim, don't daven for people who need help. How could he refuse to daven for her? What's the pshat? The Ksav Sefer says a beautiful pshat. The Ksav Sefer says, what Yaakov was saying to Rachel was this, that my father, you know how his tefillahs were listened to? He davened l'noichach ishtoi, opposite his wife. Opposite his wife means, is when Yitzchak didn't have children, he understood it's Ratzon Hashem, he shouldn't have children. If that's Ratzon Hashem, he didn't daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels it's right, I should have children, I'll have children. I'll wait till the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. And he was not going to be mispal. But he saw his wife's insar. So he said, his wife's insar, I have to daven. He didn't daven for himself. He davened totally mispal bad chaveroi. He davened totally for somebody else. Of course, he gets answered. He has children. Yaakov says, I can't daven like that. I have children. For me to daven, there's no mesivas nefesh. It's not pshat, I'm accepting anything. I haven't got that koich of tefillah my father had. I would love to daven for you, but my tefillah is not going to work the same way as my father's. Again, you see, hamispal bal chaveri, you care for other people. That is, when you get answered. If you want the place where you see the greatest friendship, the greatest chesed there was, is between David and Yonason. That is the example of what a chavar is. And you look at David's hesped on Yonason, and he says, Niflesa ahavos chali me'avos noshim. Your love for me, your love for me, he says to his friend after Yonason has died, your love for me was greater than the love of women. What does he mean by that? You love me greater than women. So some of Farshim learn like a wife for a husband, some learn like a mother for her children. Your love for me was greater than a mother's love. But I once heard a pshat, an amazing pshat. It means, your love for me was greater than the love of women, we means Rachel and Leah. Meaning he was saying to Yonason like this, Rachel was destined to be an aim in Klal Yisrael. She was supposed to be the mother of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov would marry one wife, and she would have all the shvatim. But what happened? She saw the story of what was going to happen with her sister. And she gave over the simonim. She was giving up her role as an aim in Klal Yisrael. As far as she was concerned, Yaakov would never marry her now. Because Yaakov would never marry two sisters. The Torah says it's also to marry two sisters. And all the foreigners say, how was he allowed to? But whatever it is, he did not want to marry two sisters. The Ramban writes in Parshas Vayechi, the real reason why Rachel was not buried in Ma'aros HaMachpelah. He gave excuses in public to Yosef. That wasn't the real reason. The real reason he didn't bury her is, he was embarrassed. In front of the Tata, the Zayda, two sisters, zwei Schwestern. How could you do that? He was embarrassed to be buried there with two sisters. La'asid lovoi, they're going to look by the suit of the Leviosim for somebody to bench. And they're going to, Avraham, he can't bench, he had Yishmael, Yitzchak and Esav. They come to Yaakov, maybe you bench, he can't bench. He married two sisters. So for him, marrying two sisters wasn't something he wanted to do. He did, he made a cheshbon, there was no choice, he had to do it. But as far as Rachel knew, once he's married Leah, it's all over. Who knows? Maybe she'll end up with Esau. And she did She gave up this money. It was such an unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh that she was willing to do this. She was giving up her Nitzchias, her eternity. So David says to Yonason, Yonason, you were destined to be the Melech in Klal Yisrael. Your father was the king, and rightfully so, you would be the next king. There was only one thing that would stop you becoming king. And what was that? Me. And your father wanted to make sure, Shaul wanted to make sure that I wouldn't be king. He did everything he could to get me out of the way and that you would be king. And you went and thwarted his plans. You went, protected me, saved me. You made sure that I would be the king and you wouldn't be the king. It makes no sense. How could a person of the Koichos to do that? Where did you get this from? Because you come from Shaul, who comes from Shevi Binyamin, who comes from Rachel Imenu. From your Baba Rachel, you got this Koichos. Rachel was giving up her Nitzchias. She was willing to do that. You, Yonason, you were doing the same thing. You inherited this in your genetic makeup, this Koichos. Nifleis avos chali, mei avos noshim. And again, like we said, this brings Geula, national, individually. But it's hard. It's hard to be Moisen Nefesh for somebody else. So I want to give you some chizik to make it a little easier. To be Moisen Nefesh for somebody else. The Pasuk says, Vayizker elekim es Rachel. Hashem remembered Rachel. Remembered that she gave over the simonim. Rashi says, what did HaKadosh Baruch remember? She gave the simonim to Leah. And because of that, she gave the simonim, HaKadosh Baruch now made her pregnant. Let's understand what Rashi is saying over here. First bring out a Maisa with the Sdei Chemed. The Sdei Chemed wrote an encyclopedia on Shas. Maybe the first encyclopedia on Shas. And he said himself, he was learning in a kotel. And in this kotel, there was somebody who was very jealous of him. And this person somehow wanted to cause him harm, was always trying to make trouble for him. And one day, this person knew that the Sdei Chemed was a masmid. He was the first person in the morning, the last to leave. He hired the cleaning lady who came to clean the kotel to say that the Sdei Chemed started up with her. So one day she comes screaming that he started up with her. And he paid her to do this. And there was a whole tumult, everybody's talking. The Rosh HaKotel said he doesn't believe it. And he made his investigations, he decided it's not true, and he fired the cleaning lady. And life went on. But you know how people are. There's no smoke without fire. Maybe he didn't do that much, but probably something happened. And again, people looked at him now in a different way. He lived now the way he had to, what he had to put up with now. It was very awkward for him. And he felt very uncomfortable with people. People felt uncomfortable with him. And life went on like this. What could he do? A year or two went by. And then one day there's a knock at his door. And this cleaning lady, she's standing by the door. What does she want? She says, listen, she says, ever since I lost my job in the kotel, she says, I haven't found much work. It's been very difficult for me. It was a good job. I'd love to get that job back. I want to tell you something. I was hired to say, this guy, he hired me to say what I said. And I'm willing to go to the Rosh HaKotel and to go around town and tell everybody what really happened, the true story. And you'll be able to clear your name. All I ask you is, get me my job back. This day, Chemed said he was so excited. What an opportunity. Finally, now he can clear his name. He's about to agree. And then he says, one second. He thinks to himself, if I agree, what's going to happen now? The story of me is a couple of years ago. It's forgotten to some degree. But if I bring it up again, and then they're going to find out this guy, he hired her to say that. Look at the Chil Hashem involved. Look at the Lashon Hara involved. Look at the tumult it's going to create. How can I do such a thing? It's wrong to do it. I can't do it. And he said to her, I am willing to help you get your job back on one condition. That you don't tell anybody what happened. And Kachava, he took care. He took care of her. The Sdei Chemed said, until that time, he was a regular person in the kotel, an average person. After this story, the Ma'aynus HaChochma, the wells of wisdom, opened up for him. He became a different person. His whole ability, said, to write that sefer was only after this Maisa took place. The Rebbe Yishlam rewarded him for what he did. Look what happened with Rachel over here. She gave up Nitzchias. She gave up the role of being an aiming Klal Yisrael to give a sister the Simonim. let's look what really happened. Physically, Rashi is telling us, by Yizkeh Lekimas Rochel, Rochel physically was unable to bear children. She never would have been able to have children. If she would have married Yaakov, not given Simonim, she would have been a Akara all her life. But what happened? She went and gave the Simonim to her sister. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, unbelievable, the tzidkus you did, because of what you did, I am going to make you have children. I'm going to make a nes, and you're going to have children. So what she thought she was doing, giving up her role as an Amin Klai Yisrael, she wasn't giving it up. She was creating her role as an Amin Klai Yisrael. By giving over the Simonim, that was the only way she could have children. So at times in life, we think we're giving up something. It's hard to sacrifice for somebody else. It looks like you're sacrificing, but you're not really sacrificing. Really, what you're doing is, you're doing the greatest thing possible for yourself. Unbelievable things will come in different ways to you because of what you're doing. But just to add one more point to Rochel. Vayizkeh Lekimas Rochel, Hashem remembered Rochel. So it's a little strange, HaKadosh Baruch remembered her about the Simonim. This is many years after she gave the Simonim. If she gave the Simonim, why couldn't she have children right away? Why is this so many years later? What's the pshat? The Sfasemis is a beautiful pshat. He says that we say in Davening, in Rosh Hashanah, we say, Ki zoyche kol hanishkoches, HaKadosh Baruch remembers all the forgotten things. As long as, so the Kedushas Levi asked the Kasha, HaKadosh Baruch remembers all the forgotten things? HaKadosh Baruch remembers everything. Why does he have to say if he remembers the forgotten things? He remembers everything. What he's telling us is that when a person does a mitzvah, as long as you remember the mitzvah, you feel good, you're going on an ego trip about the mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgets the mitzvah. When you forget the mitzvah, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers it. You are not taking it. There's no gaiva about mitzvah. Ki zoich HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers when? Kol nishkoches. Forgotten things. You forget, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers. The Hosar Satan, we say, remove the Satan milfaneinu. Before us, you want to do a mitzvah, the Satan comes and he tries to stop you doing it. After you've done mitzvah, the Satan knows you did it. But what can he do now? He can work gaifa. Look what you did. You're unbelievable. What a special guy I am. So the Satan comes after the mitzvah too. We ask, remove the Satan before, remove the Satan after. It's when you forget you did it, when you don't have that gaifa, then HaKadosh Baruch remembers. What happened over here is, Leah comes to Rachel and she says to Rachel, Hama'at kachte chezishi. Is it insignificant? You wanted to take my husband away. And what does Rachel answer back? Zero. Zilch. Nothing. She forgot she gave the Simonim. She forgot it. She doesn't say back, hey, I'm 1 second, I gave you the Simonim. Rachel is forgotten. Here's where you see Rachel forgot about it already. Rachel forgot about that she gave the Simonim. That is when Rachel gets remembered. Now is when she's zeicha to children because she's forgotten what she did. It's important when a person does a mitzvah not to be a balgaiv about it. And it's worth mentioning because we have in this week's parasha too. In this week's parasha, the pasuk says that Bilam said, Mimona ofa liyakev. Who can count the dust of Yaakov? Rashi says, it's Meramas too, the mitzvahs that Klai Yisrael do with the dust. Like Kisa Adam, different mitzvahs with the dust. The Targum Yonison says, what Meramas to is, a mitzvah we do with dust is, that we do a bris milah, and afterwards the orla they cover over in sand. The moil covers it in sand. So is Bilom is nispoiled by that mitzvah. Wow, look what Klai Yisrael do. That's the best thing he can pick. Big deal. That's a minig. Not mechuyev to do that. It's not even a real mitzvah. So why is Bilam so excited, so nispoiled by that? Simple why. Because you look, one of the middas of Bilam you see in the Mishnah novel is Ruach Gevoya. He's a balgaiva. He understands when do you do something? When people know about it. I once heard Donald Trump say, what's the point of doing something for people if nobody knows about it? And that motto, which Donald Trump lives by, Bilam lived by the same motto. He saw the Yidin do a bris milah. They cut their own child. They're willing to do surgery on an 8-day-old child. Wow! That's something to be proud of. And what do? Right away, they cover it over. They forget about it. That Bilam was nispoiled by. It's important for us to sort of fanenu macharenu. Rochel, she did the mitzvah of chesed, the ultimate mitzvah of chesed. And after doing that mitzvah, no gaiva whatsoever. It's no wonder that the Ribbono Shel'Olam says to Rachel, "Mini koylech mibechi u'minach midimo." And because of Rachel, the shavu banim gvulam, Klal Yisrael will return to Eretz Yisrael again. Mr. Shem, we take these lessons, will be zeichu to a shavu banim gvulam.
Thank you.